Welcome to the Deep Dive. You know how virtual reality can transport you to new places? Today, we're exploring a less obvious yet equally powerful aspect. How what you believe about a VR experience can reshape your entire perception of it. We're diving into the hidden influence of the placebo effect within virtual environments.
Indeed. Our deep dive is anchored by a significant research paper from Meng et al. At Keio University, published in 2025. This study investigates a fundamental question in human-computer interaction: how visualizing different types of audience data, be it authentic, mismatched, or even entirely fabricated, can profoundly influence a user's experience during a VR event.
Okay, so our mission today is to unpack the noteworthy implications of presenting this physiological audience data within VR. We aim to understand not just what data is shown, but how your expectation and conviction about that data can mold your virtual experience, leading to some unexpected emotional and even physical responses. Prepare to discover how the power of belief can alter your reality within a virtual space. Now, the core objective of virtual reality has always been, well, to immerse users through artificial sensory input, right? Fostering a powerful sense of presence within an alternate world. And achieving this often involves recreating real-life scenarios to ensure that learned skills or reactions transfer effectively.
Yes, yet the pursuit of hyperrealism in VR presents distinct challenges. Even minor inaccuracies can break the illusion of presence, pulling you right out of the experience. Research suggests that more abstract visuals can be equally effective, sometimes even superior, in enhancing user engagement. By allowing focus on essential elements, this is precisely where the integration of human physiological data becomes relevant.
And the study we are examining, it builds upon these advancements in wearable biosensors and digital media that enable the transformation of audience sensory and emotional experiences into quantifiable data.
Exactly. This opens the door to creating what they call effective loop experiences. Digital connections that bridge time and space between performers and audiences.
Effective loop experiences, connecting people across time and space using their own biological data.
Precisely. Specifically, this research utilized electrodermal activity, known as EDA, which measures changes in skin conductance, and blood volume pulse, or BVP, which indicates heart rate.
Okay, EDA and BVP, standard biosignals.
Correct. These signals were collected from a live classical concert audience. They were then translated into abstract 3D visualizations within a VR environment. BVP data determined the scale of dandelion-shaped spherical models, while EDA levels dictated the height of grass-like farms. This provided a dynamic, organic, visual representation of audience engagement.
So, with this innovative approach to visualizing audience data, how did the researchers set out to test the influence of this data and, crucially, the placebo effect itself?
Right.
What did these participants encounter in their virtual concert experience?
Well, they carefully structured their investigation, involving 44 participants, to observe how different types of data and varied levels of information affected their experience. This allowed them to capture both individual reactions and broader group trends. Each participant encountered four distinct data visualization conditions during a 5-minute, 11-second solo piano performance in VR.
Four distinct conditions. Can you walk us through those?
Certainly. First, there was the non-visual condition. Participants heard only the piano performance, no visual data at all. Second, real match visuals. These were derived from authentic physiological data collected during the exact performance being recreated. So direct contextual relevance.
Matched to the music they were hearing at that moment.
Correct. Then third, real unmatched. This used genuine physiological data, but it originated from a different performance, thereby lacking that contextual alignment.
So still actual human data, but from another time, another performance entirely.
Precisely. Think of real match like watching a concert film where the visuals reflect the actual audience's energy from that specific showing perfectly in sync. Real unmatched is like watching that same concert, but the audience visuals are pulled from a different night's performance. The data is genuine, but not tied to the exact moments you are experiencing. And the fourth condition was fake. Here, visualizations were generated using random values, entirely independent of any real human physiological data or the music's features.
Random values, okay. And beyond the type of data, I understand the researchers also varied what they told the participants about these visuals. How did they approach that element?
That's a crucial part. To evaluate the effect of prior knowledge or priming, participants were divided into two main groups. The uninformed group received no information about the visualizations. They just saw them. The informed group, by contrast, was explicitly told that the visual effects represented previously recorded human physiological data from audience members.
Got it. So one group knew the supposed origin, the other didn't. And once they had these groups experiencing the various conditions, how did they measure their responses? What metrics did they use?
They used a comprehensive set of measures. Participants' reactions were assessed through several questionnaires. This included the self-assessment mannequin for emotional states, pleasure, arousal, and control, the iGroup presence questionnaire for immersion, and a co-presence questionnaire for their sense of being with others. Engagement was also assessed using a 7-point scale.
So self-report measures covering emotion, presence, and engagement.
Yes, and semi-structured interviews also provided valuable qualitative insights, getting into the why behind the numbers. Beyond self-reported data, the study meticulously analyzed physiological synchrony, specifically in electrodermal activity, between the VR participants and the original live audience whose data was sometimes being used.
Physiological synchrony, too. That's quite thorough. So what were the initial observations when they began to analyze all this data? Was there a clear impact of telling people what they were supposedly seeing?
Indeed, there was. The study's findings indicate a considerable impact of that initial information on the user experience. Participants in the informed group consistently reported higher levels of engagement across the board. Furthermore, when you look only at the conditions with visuals, they expressed a greater sense of co-presence compared to their uninformed counterparts.
That makes intuitive sense. If you are informed, you have a context, a story for the visuals, perhaps feeling connected to that past audience. What did the qualitative feedback, the interviews, reveal about this difference?
The qualitative feedback strongly supported this quantitative finding. It added a lot of color. Uninformed participants frequently reported confusion or distraction. They often expended mental energy attempting to interpret the visuals, which sometimes led to feelings of fatigue or even stress. They didn't know what to make of it. Conversely, informed participants noted that the prior explanation sparked their imagination. It helped them perceive connections and notice details within the data visualizations, thereby enhancing their sense of connection to a collective audience.
Okay, so information provides a frame, reduces confusion, and fosters connection. But this is where the findings become particularly compelling, isn't it?
Yeah.
What did they observe in the fake data condition, especially with the informed group?
Yes, this is where the placebo effect becomes quite evident. The fake data condition, when participants were informed it was real data, yielded precisely. It aligns quite well with social facilitation theory. When informed participants believed the visuals represented an active audience, even though the data was fabricated, they seemed to psychologically mirror this perceived state. They reported higher pleasure and arousal. Quantitative analysis corroborated this. The informed fake condition resulted in notably elevated pleasure and arousal levels compared to other visual conditions within that informed group.
Wow. So belief overrode the actual nature of the stimulus.
Yeah.
What about the physiological synchrony? You mentioned EDA. How did the informed group experiencing fake data align physiologically with the actual concert audience from the original recording?
This is another nuanced finding. They observed something of a trade-off. The informed group experiencing fake data exhibited significantly higher EDA tonic synchrony with the live concert audience. Tonic EDA reflects slower, sustained changes in arousal. So this suggests a greater alignment of their overall long-term arousal levels. A deeper emotional resonance and continued engagement over time, perhaps.
Higher sustained alignment, even with fake data, just based on belief. That's significant.
It is. However, regarding the immediate physiological responses, the same informed fake condition resulted in lower EDA phasic synchrony. Phasic EDA reflects rapid, moment-to-moment arousal fluctuations, often linked to specific events. This suggests that while those highly dynamic, albeit fake, visuals could foster a sustained emotional connection, tonic synchrony, they might also introduce sensory input that disrupts the immediate moment-to-moment physiological alignment, phasic synchrony. It presents a design consideration.
A trade-off. Boost sustained engagement, potentially at the cost of immediate synchronicity. That's a subtle yet crucial distinction for designers, suggesting a balance is needed. Okay, beyond the impact of information and the fake data, did participants manage to distinguish between the different types of real data, the matched versus unmatched conditions?
That was another notable finding. There was widespread difficulty among participants, regardless of whether they were informed or uninformed, in distinguishing between the real matched and real unmatched data conditions. Most expressed that they could not perceive any clear distinctions in the visuals themselves. Though some reported an intuitive sense, perhaps, of differing atmospheres, they couldn't articulate objective differences. This highlights a general lack, perhaps, of user sensitivity to the subtle nuances within physiological data visualizations.
So even when presented with authentic data, the specific contextual relevance, whether it was from this performance or another, often made little perceived difference to the user. This further solidifies the notion that priming and belief exert a powerful influence, perhaps more so than the exact factual nature of the data itself in this context.
That is correct. The research strongly suggests that designers can intentionally and perhaps ethically leverage this placebo effect in VR experiences, providing a compelling narrative or context, even if the underlying data visualization is abstract or not strictly authentic, can profoundly enhance user engagement and emotional responses.
The study concludes by posing a compelling question for future work, doesn't it? About whether this effect holds if the user knows the data isn't authentic but chooses to engage with the narrative anyway.
Yes. Is the placebo effect still applicable even if the user is explicitly aware of the data's authenticity or lack thereof? That avenue, exploring conscious belief versus subconscious priming, warrants future exploration.
This deep dive certainly reveals the remarkable capacity of belief and perception to shape our experiences within virtual environments. It showcases how a simple explanation, a narrative frame, can transform potentially distracting or confusing visuals into a source of substantial engagement and emotional connection, even when the underlying data isn't genuine.
It definitely prompts us to consider the intricate balance designers must strike. Balancing stimulating visual elements that foster sustained engagement, like those potentially random but dynamic visuals, against elements that maintain immediate physiological alignment. The insights gained here provide valuable guidance for crafting more impactful and emotionally resonant virtual experiences.
So as you move forward, maybe consider how often your own experiences, both within and beyond virtual realms, are shaped not merely by objective occurrences, but by the narratives you are given or the convictions you cultivate about what's happening. The deep dive continues, and we look forward to exploring more with you next time.